Hi, welcome everybody to our trek through 2 Samuel. And we are at 2 Samuel chapter 19, beginning at verse 22, where David is in conversation with various people on his way back to Jerusalem after the rebellion. So we're going to start verse 22 of chapter 19. Vayaan Avishai ben Zeruiah vayomer ha-tachat zot lo yumat shimi ki kilel et Mashiach Adonai. And Avishai answered. This is a third hey from Anna to answer Vayaan. Okay, a vav consecutive. So Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said. Now notice the hey. That's a question there, interrogative hey with tachat. Tachat here means on account of this. All right. So on account of this. Zot, notice, is feminine. Why? Anyone know? Yeah, it's referring back to the idea, and in this case, the behavior of, let's see, who is it? Shiva, right? And what he had done. So Abishai, son of Zeruiah, answered and said, on account of this, should not Shimi be put to death, Yumat. Notice that this is a hafal from the hollow verb moot, to die. To kill is hamit, and the hafal is yumat, to be killed. Should not Shimi be killed because of this? Okay. Ki kilel, for he cursed, there's a PL perfect, for he cursed the Mashiach Yahweh, the anointed of the Lord. Okay. Questions through 22, pretty straightforward. Right? Good. Vayomer David, ma li ve'lakim b'nei Zeruiah, ki tihyu li hayom lesatan. Hayom yumat ish be'Yisrael, ki halo yadati ki hayom ani melech al Yisrael. Now notice, remember the theological point that as we go through here, David forgives all his enemies. I mean, as he's going back to Jerusalem. Then David said, what is there to me and to you? We would probably say, what do you have to do with me, or what do I have to do with you, O B'nai Zeruiah, sons of Zeruiah? Remember, these were his relatives, his nephews, caused a lot of trouble. So what is there between us, between me and you, O sons of Zeruiah, that you will be to me, hayom, today, lesatan, an accuser or a adversary. Okay. So what is there to me and to you, O sons of Zeruiah, that you will be, again from hayas, notice it's plural, that you will be to me today a satan. This is where we get the proper name Satan. An adversary. Notice the pause. Today, will a man in Israel be killed? Yumat. There's that hafal form again. Third, imperfect hafal, third masculine singular. Ish is the subject. So, and notice it comes in the form of a question, even though there's not an interrogative hey, that is implied from the context. Today, will a man in Israel be killed for, and here's the question, for halo yadati, do I not know? Okay, for do I not know that, see, notice after a verb of perception, yada, ki, functions as an object clause. Do I not know that today I am melech, am king over Israel? Okay. So once again, David said, what is there to me and to you, O sons of Zeruiah, that you are to me today an adversary? Today, will a man in Israel be killed? For do I not know that hayom, today, I am king over Israel? All right. Questions on that. Notice the emphasis on the word hayom there. It's kind of a theme word of the verse.
How would you say it to me and to you?
What do I have to do with you? Something like that. You know, what's going on between us, something like that. It's usually used in these it's usually used in a negative connotation, as you see it here. You know, kind of, what do I have to do with you that you're my adversary? So he's kind of separating. It's a way that the speaker separates himself from the other person who's making a plea or a suggestion like a command or something like that that the speaker doesn't like. That's what you see here. Yeah, anything else? Okay, verse 24. Vayomer HaMelech el Shimi lo tamut vayishava lo HaMelech. And the king said to Shimi, lo tamut, you shall not die. Notice the simple call, imperfect, from Mut. And notice you see the king giving forgiveness. You shall not die. Vayishva. And the king swore to him. That vayishva, what conjugation is it? It's a nifal from shava. Notice the comets under the shin and the dagesh in the shin preceded by a short vowel telling you there's an assimilated nun. And the king swore to him. All right. This verb occurs in the nifal, to swear, and to cause to swear is the hifil. Okay. All right. So we got Shimei taken care of. And now verse 25, new paragraph. We start with Mephibosheth. So, U Mephibosheth ben Shaul yarad likrat HaMelech. Velo asa raglav, velo asa sefa. It sounds like some of our students. Sefamo, you'll see when I translate. Ve'et begadav lo kibes. Le min hayom leket HaMelech ad hayom asher ba beshalom. All right. Now, Mephibosheth, okay, the son of Saul. Remember, he was the one that was lame, that was crippled because his nurse dropped him. So Mephibosheth, son of Saul, Yarad, had come down to meet the king. Likrad is an infinitive construct from Kara. We've seen it before. Had come down to meet the king. Now notice the idioms here, or the kind of idiomatic language. Velo asa raglav. It's literally, and he had not done his feet. Now, what that means, you can go several directions. He had not washed his feet. Jewish Publication Society, the JPS translation, thinks it's he had not cut his toenails. He had not done up his feet, okay? Veloasa, and here's the reason. He had not done his sefamo. Sefam is your mustache. See, so again, he had not done his mustache. Means he had not cut his mustache. He had not groomed it. Ve'et begadav, and his clothes, lo kibbeis, he had not washed. There's the PL. That's why I said it sounds like some of our students. I was just joking if anyone's listening. Okay. Now notice when you have this extent of time, lemin, he puts two prepositions together. We in English can only use one. From the day of leket, the king's leket, going. This is from halak, call infinitive construct. So from the day, and it's an infinitive construct, and HaMelech is the subject. So from the day the king went, you have to translate the finite verb, or from the day the walking of the king up until the day when he entered, came back, Beshalom, in peace. Okay? So again, it's a little awkward, that Lemin Hayom Leket there. And 25D... I think gives us a different reading. Let's see. If you look at 20, verse 20a, do not remember. Yeah, 20a has the different verb yatsa, but anyway, it's still infinitive. Okay, any questions through 25? Everybody got the syntax there? Okay. Verse 26, Vayahi. Kiva Yerushalayim likrat HaMelech. Vayomer lo HaMelech, lama lo halakt imi Mephibosheth. Okay. Vayahi here just indicates a little change in the direction of the scene, but it's not much here. So it introduces Mephibosheth. Notice in verse 25, then it describes him. Now it describes his action. Now it happened that he had come by Jerusalem. And notice that we would have to supply the preposition from The narrative does not necessitate it in Hebrew. All right, we have to get that from the sense. Now, it happened that he had come from Jerusalem, again, Likrot, to meet HaMelech, the king. Vayomer lo HaMelech, and the king said to him, Lama lo halakta immi? Why did you not walk with me, Mephibosheth? Or we would say, why did you not go with me? So remember, when David had to flee Jerusalem, Mephibosheth didn't go with him. Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth? Okay? Questions through 26? Okay. 27. Vayomer Adoni HaMelech Avdi Rimani Ki Amar Avdika Ech Besha Li HaChamor Ve'erkav Aleha Ve'elek Et HaMelech Ki Pisech Avdika. And he said, Adoni, my lord, the king, my servant, and the servant is Ziba. Remember, the servant of Mephibosheth was Ziba, and he was not a very faithful guy. My lord, the king, my servant, namely Ziba. Now notice this next word, Rimani. Okay, everyone see the root of it? It's one of those pesky third hey verbs, Rama. And this is a, now once you see it's third hey, you can see right away that it's a PL perfect. The dagesh and the mem preceded by the short vowel tells you that. Okay? So, my lord, the king, my servant, namely Ziba, deceived me. Ramah means to deceive. He deceived me. For your servant said, Ech Sheva, let me saddle up. This is from Chavash, which means to bind up. Notice it's a call cohortative, first common singular. Let me saddle for myself Hachamor, the ass. The Ekrav, or Erkav, and I will ride on it, and I will go with the king. Okay, for your servant is Piseach, he is lame. Notice that this is an adjective, Piseach. Okay, for he is lame. We have that pattern in certain adjectives, that doubling of the middle root letter preceded by a short vowel, Piseach. All right. So again, my lord the king, and he said, O my lord the king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, namely himself, let me saddle up for myself the ass, and I will ride on it, and I will go with the king. For your servant is lame. Okay. Now verse 28. Now here's the rest of the explanation, really. Vayeragel be'avdika el Adoni HaMelech. Va'Adoni HaMelech ke Malaka Elohim va'ase hatov be'eneka. Okay, and he ragel means to spy on or to he wasn't faithful to him. Va'yeragel, all right. So he spied against your servant. Or he conspired against your servant. So some word like that. Va'yeragel against your servant. Concerning or to my lord the king. Okay? And my lord the king is as the Malach HaElohim, is as the messenger of God, is as the angel of the Lord. Okay? Va'aseh, so do. This aseh is an imperative, call imperative. So do that which is good, hatov, the good thing, be'eneka, in your eyes. All right. So notice again, he slandered, Vayeragel is probably the best translation, and he slandered against your servant to my lord the king. So Ziba betrayed Mephibosheth. All right. Now, my lord the king is as the messenger of God, so do what is good in your eyes. So notice Mephibosheth really throws himself on the mercy of David. Okay. Ziba, I think he slandered Mephibosheth and said that Mephibosheth was not on David's side in this whole thing. And remember,
but that doesn't answer why he didn't go with David, right?
Yeah. See, that gets lost. Actually, that's why I'm not sure how 27 and 28 actually connect. I mean, he gives that one excuse. My servant deceived me or treated me in that Rimah, for I was supposed to saddle it, and I would go with him, for my your servant was lame. But evidently that didn't happen. And instead Ziba slandered Mephibosheth. So evidently Mephibosheth was pretty helpless is what he's how he's portraying himself. So I'm not exactly sure what happened there that the servant didn't carry out what he said he was supposed to do. Yeah, you're right. There's kind of a gap in the text there.
His toenails are too long.
Something. Yeah. Okay. Verse 29 then. Ki lo hayakol beit avi ki im anshe mavet laroni hamelech. Vatashet et avdeka be okle shulchaneka uma yesh li od zedeka ve lizok od el hamelech. Okay. For is not, see, lo haya, all the house of my father, for not is all the house of my father, ki'im, except anshe mavet, men of death. Okay? So what he's saying is, you could say, we would say, all the house of my father is nothing except men of death. See, so not is all the house of my father, ki'im, except men of death. And by men of death, notice that death functions as kind of an adjectival relationship to anshe, except dead men, to my lord the king. Okay? Okay, everybody up right there. Va tashet is from the word sheet, the hollow verb. Notice the comments under the top tells you that. Call. And you put et abdeka, your servant, be with okle shulchaneka. With the eaters, notice that that's from akal participle, construct, plural. So it's a plural participle in construct. That's why you got that A form there. And you placed your servant with those who eat at your table, shulchan. All right? And what is there to me, what exists for me yet, tzedakah? Tzedakah is kind of the subject of yesh. So we would say, what kindness is there for me still? Everybody see that? So what is there for me still kindness? But tzedakah is the subject. What kindness, tzedakah, is there for me still? And zeok, and to cry out still to the king. Zeok is an infinitive construct call. So let me read that whole thing again. For there is not any house of my father, or all the house of my father is not, except, is nothing, and I'll say, is nothing but dead men to my lord the king. And you put your servant, namely Mephibosheth, with those who eat at your table. And what tzedakah, what kindness is there for me still? And see, what is there for me, or why? To cry out still to the king. In other words, notice what Mephibosheth is saying. You put me at your table. You've done everything for me. I don't deserve any more kindness from you. See, I don't deserve to call out for you. That's basically what he's saying here. Okay? Everybody see that? Any questions about the grammar? I mean, it's really circumlocutious. And the speech is interesting to me because if you're really humble, if you're really trying to ingratiate yourself, notice how, I mean, we've all been in that position. What happens to your language? You tend to stumble. You tend to be wordy. You tend to notice you're trying to get out what you want to do. And when you're being kind of crushed, that's the kind of way your language goes. And that's how his language strikes me. See, he's being so deferential that he doesn't say stuff really eloquently. It just kind of comes out. It's kind of interesting. And notice the detail. The narrator is really slowing down the action here to give you this detail, because Mephibosheth really lives up to his name. Notice Boshet is shame in there. See? So you have Mephibosheth from a mouth of shame. See, you know, so he's kind of living up to that in his characterization. So David's grace is kind of contrasted with the depth of his need. Yeah, Will.
You often make that point how the choice of words and the order of words reflects
sometimes
the
yeah.
emotional state of yeah. the speaker. And for the writer of it, I guess you're saying that this is a convention that Hebrew writers used yeah. often when they're reporting, you know, the situation of others, because this isn't Mephibosheth writing this down.
Yeah.
A tape recorder was in
right. Right. I mean, I think what it's doing, it connect, you know, and the reason we can see that is because it connects up with our own experience. Notice that I'm kind of matching up what you see happening in the text and the way he's talking with our own experience if we were put in a situation like Mephibosheth. It happens to students all the time when they have to not turn in a paper on time or something. They don't just come out and say, you know, I really can't get this paper out because I've been sick or something. Usually they use a whole bunch of words to tell me. And it's like, cut to the chase. But what they're doing is, see, they feel there's power relations going on. See? And when you feel like you're in a position of no power and helplessness, you kind of express that in your language. And so you get wordy and you kind of go down rabbit trails and, you know, your grammar and syntax become more convoluted and all those kinds of things. We've all been in that position. It's like, and that's how it strikes me. So that's kind of my interpretation of what's being characterized here. Does that make sense? Will.
Also, could you also translate this, Zedekah, like, what right do I have
yeah.
to continue to call
yep.
to the king?
Yep. So you could translate, yeah, except let's see here. And what is there to me right still? And see, and then you have that vav there. You'd want that vav not to be there before the ve lizok, because then it'd fit nicely. What right is there to me still to call still on the king? But you have that extra vav there, which kind of makes it awkward, see? It's like, okay, he's putting it in there. But syntactically, it takes away the smoothness that you want, right? You're kind of negotiating that. And that's why I'm saying it's kind of, you can see his own state of mind reflected in the grammar. It's kind of interesting. Okay, so verse 30, Vayomer lo hamelech, and the king said to him, Lama tedaber od devareka, amarti ata vetziva tach leku et hasadeh. Notice how short David's sentence is. The king said to him, why are you still speaking? Tedaber is just a pia. Why are you speaking still about devareka, about your things, about your affairs? Okay. I said, you and Ziva, there's his servant, tach leku, you will divide hasadeh, the field. Chalak means to divide. So this is a call form. Notice, even though you have a patach under the tav, tach leku. Now, what's interesting about it is David seems to be able to discern what Mephibosheth is really after. See, we thought that Mephibosheth was pleading for his life, but there was something else there, too, about the division of property. So David makes this proclamation, which is also kind of life-giving to Mephibosheth. All right. So verse 31, Vayomer Mephibosheth, then Mephibosheth said to the king. Notice it's the king. Again, notice this narratorship. He's not calling him David. He's calling him Hamelech. And notice how it's repeated. Hamelech, Hamelech, Hamelech. Well, it makes the point, see, that David made. I'm king. So he's being referred to by his title, see? So all of a sudden you're seeing David in his role. The power that he has now restored is kind of being reinforced by the use of language. It's not personal anymore. Now it's his role that's being emphasized. So Mephibosheth said to the king, also, et hakol, everything he has, also everything may he take. Okay. So Mephibosheth said to the king, gam, indeed, here's the direct object, et hakol, everything yikach, let him take from lakach, let him take. Acharei asher, we would translate this because... Okay. After it's literally, I mean, very woodenly. After which, Ba Adoni, my Lord, the King, has come, Ba Beshalom, in peace to his home. So again, here's Mephibosheth's response. Mephibosheth said to the king, "Indeed, everything may he take, namely Ziba, because my lord the king has come in peace to his house." So Mephibosheth is saying he's so happy that the king is back that he's willing to give up his claim to everything. Does that make sense? Okay. We'll stop here and take it up with Barzelli is the next guy. Notice, just see the structure here. In verse 25, notice after the king was done with Shimei. Wait a minute, I want to see where Shimei starts. I can't quite find it yet. But anyway, you have verse 25, it leads with Mephibosheth and comes all the way down to 31, and now we're leading with Barzelli. And so again, it leads it. There's no verb here. It's another person that's going to be described in his situation and then what the king says to him. So it's kind of this order. As David's coming in, all these people are coming to him, see? And what is he going to say? What's his judgment going to be for them? And especially for the ones that weren't totally faithful, boom, he forgives. It's kind of interesting. Okay? All right. We'll start at verse 32 next time. Thank you.